Blog Talk Radio.
How's it going, everybody? Chris Block here, the Third Man in Radio. Whoa! I screwed it up already. It's not that anymore. It's Puck Chatter Radio, the official podcast of thethirdmanin.com. I am Chris Block, writer, editor, and keeper of thethirdmanin.com, joined, as always, with my good, close, personal friend and confidant, the Superstar. How are you doing tonight, Superstar?
I am well, and yeah, that didn't take long.
No, that didn't take long at all. Perhaps it's because we haven't done a show in 2 weeks.
It's been a little while.
Well, this is the norm. I want to say this right away. There's going to be fooling around because, quite frankly, I have no idea what we want to talk about. I'm only doing the show because people have been complaining that there's been no show, and I want to talk to you, Superstar. That's the only reason why we're doing it. and we're going to try to get it all packed in about a half an hour. We've got some listener questions feeding off our last show, which was a couple of weeks ago with Brad Gardner. Some other things. I don't know what they are, but I'll figure them out in the next 20 minutes or so, and we'll pack them into the last 10 minutes. Superstar, how have you been? First of all, thanks for having me in your box the other night. That was quite splendid of you, Superstar.
And my pleasure. My pleasure. You've been most gracious over the years, and it was a good time. I think everyone had fun. The Stella in Bombay were flowing heavily, so. It was a good event.
Unfortunately, the Bombay was flowing. Unfortunately for my Monday, the Bombay was flowing. But it was a good time. The Washington Capitals, the Blackhawks, was a successful night, 5-2 victory over the Capitals. That was on Sunday night. And, of course, that was followed up on Tuesday by a 5-1 victory at Columbus. Go ahead.
It would have been I just wonder what the – let's call it space. Maybe alcohol consumption in that box would have been if that game was on a Friday or Saturday night. Because we didn't go light, and it was on a Sunday.
It was on a Sunday, and I had a little pregame with some folks that were in the box with us. I had a little pregame that day at over there in the Little Italy, and we came over, and you guys were all in full swing. And then I did a little post game, but not too much because I had an early rise on the Monday. But it was a good time, and it was a lot of fun. I shall say. And I did say.
You did say. It was a good time.
You're in the palatial new studios over there, I hear.
I am.
Must be a nice day.
It was gorgeous.
It was a nice day. I got to tell you something, Superstar. I guess I already told you this privately, but I'll tell everybody here. I told the Twitter. I did something today that I don't normally do. I went to the Millennium Park for lunch. Right.
That was good. What did you bring your lunch, or did you stop at a local place and get some takeout? Or
well, for anybody that hasn't, and we have a lot of listeners that don't live in Chicago, but if you go to the Millennium Park, a hot dog is $4. So, no, I didn't go with my lunch, and I did not go there to eat lunch. I actually had a late breakfast. I had like an 11 o'clock breakfast because I had a bunch of things I was running around doing this morning in the loop, and I stopped and had a Caesar wrap that I ate in the office, and I was doing some other things, and I was like, you know what? I'm gonna go over to the Millennium Park. And guess who I saw at Millennium Park today?
Who did you see?
Chicago Blackhawks defenseman Brent Seabrook was out for a little bit of a stroll through the Millennium Park, and nobody noticed him. First of all, I got to say this: he was with a lady, and my favorite thing.
You could be ratting Brent Seabrook out live right now. You realize?
I know. And Ruth is not happy about it. I am at home tonight because I am, like I said, we're cramming this show in. So if Ruth Puppy in the background is making noise, there's not much I can do about it because he controls everything, and I just live here. Hold on a second.
That's enough.
This is professional radio.
This is the best podcast we've ever done.
Anyway, my favorite part, though, is that Brent Seabrook doesn't hold hands. No holding hands for Brent Seabrook. He leads with the right. He's a true defenseman.
Well, God bless him.
Nobody recognized him. He's just strolling through the park. He's got his hat down, kind of closed by his eyes. I was just sitting there on a bench, you know, kind of minding my own business there by the bean, just watching people. Do you understand people's fascination with the bean?
Not really.
It's kind of cool to look at once, but then it's like, I've seen this before. I don't really care anymore.
Well, you're right. You said it best. You've seen it before because we live in the great city of Chicago or the Chicagoland area. So, yeah, the first time you see it, it's pretty cool. It's reflective. But now, I mean, how many times have you walked by it or driven by it and be like, oh, yeah, look, there's the beam.
It's a giant mirror. That's all it is.
Yeah, exactly. It's looking at yourself in a mirror, but it's not a mirror. It's a giant beam.
I have a giant. You know this. I have a giant mirror in my house.
You do have a giant mirror.
I do. Nobody's coming over here to look at it. Not in a long time, anyway. I didn't talk. I left Brent Seabrook alone. I have no desire to talk to players. I really don't. I have no desire. I mean, if I happen to, you know, if they want to talk to me, I'll talk to them. But I have no desire. I just leave them alone. Let them do their thing. And I actually thought about it. I was like, you know, this might be an interesting thing to tweet because everyone's always complaining that I don't tweet enough. I don't tweet during games and all this kind of stuff. I was like, well, this would be something interesting to tweet. But then, like, all these dopes would come, like, running into Millennium Park, like, where's Brent Seabrook? And it's like, leave the guy alone. He's got an off day. Leave him alone. But, I did that, and I did a whole bunch of other stuff today. What did you think about last night's big game with the Vancouver Canucks? Of course, the biggest news coming subsequent to the game is that Duncan Keith facing suspension for his elbow, blatant elbow on Daniel Sedin. I know a lot of people are sort of kind of trying to justify the Keith elbow by saying, oh, it was Daniel that got his elbow up first. I mean, Daniel in the corner on Duncan Keith, and I'm sure everybody's seen it by now. In fact, today it was I was post work today, Superstar. I was having a beverage, and I was watching on the telly. Was Part of the Interruption. It was a topic today on Part of the Interruption. Michael Wilson.
I didn't see that, but obviously that's been gained a lot of attention in the last half a day.
I mean, the Daniel Sedin hit. I mean, he threw a check. He had his elbow down. He threw a check, and yeah, his shoulder pad caught Keith in the face, but I didn't think that was blatant at all. I don't think it warranted a suspension or anything like that. What Keith did, he's going to get in trouble for. And, I mean, I don't know. I think it'll be two games. I don't think it's going to be three because Shane Doan has a prior history. Shane Doan, of course, the elbow on James Neal actually the night before. Shane Doan came down. It came down with three games. The problem that Keith is going to have is that Daniel Sedin did not. Not only did he not play tonight for the Canucks, as they I don't even know where are the Canucks tonight.
I don't know.
We'll talk about that guy in a minute. They're in Dallas. They're up 1-0. Mason Raymond. Daniel Sedin. Not only is he not playing tonight for the Vancouver Canucks, but he didn't even travel. He went home. So. That's complicating matters with the hearing that'll happen tomorrow over the phone. So, I think it'll be two. If it's three, I'll be quite frankly surprised. There's no way it'll be longer than three. I think it'd be one, two. I would lean more towards two because it was pretty blatant. I mean, you can't do what Keith did. I mean, you really can't make an excuse for what he did. I mean, I know people will. Because it's Duncan Keith, and he's a Blackhawk, and he's the Vancouver Canucks. But you really can't. He's got to be suspended for what he did.
Yeah, you can't. I mean, he's got to be smarter there. He has to realize that he's an extremely important part of this team. And luckily and thankfully for them, as well as they've been playing, they've almost cemented a playoff spot. And you know, him being out 2-3 games may not come back to bite him in the ass. But at the same time, he's got to be smarter than that.
Well, let's look at the standings since you mentioned it. The Blackhawks currently in sixth place by way of percentage points behind the Nashville Predators, who are in action tonight. Alexander Radulov with his first game back with the Predators. We're going to talk about that in a minute. They're in Pittsburgh. They're down 4-1, but they'll remain in fifth place ahead of the Blackhawks, who are in sixth by way of percentage points. Both teams have 92 points, and Nashville coming into town on Sunday night, and then there will be a rematch in Music City on the 31st next Saturday. Alexander Radulov with a goal in the game midway through the second period. Again, Pittsburgh up 4-1. I don't often do this, but I have to ask Detroit Red Wings fans, who I have, you know, I usually stay out of this kind of stuff, but there's been some unrest, and most of it is coming out of Motown on this whole Alexander Radulov business, and like, how is it that the Predators can add a player after the trade deadline? This is unfair, this and that. I mean, and it's Red Wings fans mostly that I'm hearing it from. Quit whining. Radulov 2 years ago walked away from the Predators. He's under contract to their organization. They've been playing 2 years without him. It's not like they got to go over the cap or anything like that. He's been under contract to him the whole time. I mean, he defected and went to Russia, and now he's back. And, to me, I don't hear Blackhawks. I mean, I'm sure there are some. But by and large, I don't hear Blackhawks fans complaining about this. And it's just, I don't, you know, shut up. You know, I think that he's a tremendous player, and we get to watch, you know, a highly skilled, fabulous player play. And to me, that's all that matters. I don't really care about any of the other stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I think if you just hear the story and you don't realize that he's been under contract and what it's done to the Nashville Predators as far as the cap goes, without knowing that, I think it's easy to sit back and be like, well, you know, let's just rape and pillage the KHL at this point, bring in maybe fresher legs and more talented players to fill your third, fourth line. But that's not the case.
Right, and I didn't hear anybody, Red Wings fans included, whining or defending the Predators, when Radulov defected and went to Russia. He's a guy that should have been here the whole time playing, honoring his contract. You know, and I know some people said, he gets to come over and play 2 months of the season, you know, maybe at minimum, maybe even 1 month. And then he gets to run out the rest of his contract. It's like, so what? You know, I mean, so what? He had 1 year left on his contract, and he's going to play the number of games that he has to burn out a season for it to qualify as a season. Those are the rules. Deal with it. You know, it's not a controversy, and the whining just it doesn't even annoy me. It just bores me. Just shut up, Red Wings fans. And I never do that, but in this case, they really deserve it.
Yeah.
I actually found the list of stuff that I jotted down today. Jonathan Toews. He's now been out for more than a month, superstar. His last game that he played was February 19th against St. Louis, which was five games after the game that a lot of people point to in San Jose, that Friday night game where he got knocked around by Mark-Edward Vlasic and Joe Thornton in that game. lot of people kind of point to that game as maybe the beginning of, you know, his problems with a suspected concussion. Of course, what we understand is that that's not the only problem that he has. But interesting development in the last couple of weeks, actually within the last 9 or 10 days. The beginning of last week, Jonathan Toews was skating a little bit. Not contact, but he was actually taking part in morning skates and actually skating with the team. Stan Bowman came out in the media and basically targeted Jonathan Toews' return for as early as this past weekend or in one of the two games that were just played, either the game in Columbus or Vancouver. Now, that was 8-9 days ago, right?
Yeah, it was about 9 days.
It was interesting to me that he came out at the time and said that because Jonathan Toews, you know, there's an enormous issue here that I blame the Players Association for. And, you know, what has happened here is, you know, the Blackhawks, and we've talked about it before, that there's an issue here with how the Blackhawks handle concussions. And it dates back to Dave Boland this year with Marcus Kruger's handling, and now Toews. Toews, he wasn't cleared for contact. He was still having good days and bad days. And Stan Bowman had already targeted him publicly. Remember last year when we made fun of Stan Bowman for, you know, when he was talking about Marian Hossa, that Marian Hossa was right on schedule, but there was no timetable for his return. We made fun of Stan Bowman for that. Yeah. And we got a lot of laughs out of that, you know. But now he's giving people timetables that he has no business giving people timetables for. And in this instance, it's Jonathan Toews. Jonathan Toews, he's like I said, he's not cleared for contact. He can't be touched in practice. He's doing very light skating, not vigorous. He's not game speed whatsoever. He's a week or so away from driving himself directly into a pole on Lake Street. And Stan Bowman wants to put him right back in harm's way. He wants to put him right back on the ice as a moving target. So what happens? Toews, all of a sudden, now he's having setbacks and not so. What we hear is that, like, now, I mean, again, that's a week ago. Stan Bowman had him targeted. In Stan Bowman's world, a week ago, 10 days, Jonathan Toews is in the lineup already. He's back. Well, that didn't happen. Well, now we're hearing that he may not be back, not only by the end of the regular season, but he might not be back at all until the fall. So what has happened here? And, you know, there's things that are being said. There's rumors. Did Jonathan Toews' agent step in here and say, wait a minute, no. You know, I mean, we're going to take this as it comes. My problem with the way that NHL handles concussions, the way the Blackhawks handle it, and this has got to be an issue that the PA steps in. What does the PA do? What is their function? Who are they protecting? And what exactly is their purpose? When your players in your association that pay dues, okay, when your player gets a concussion, if that's exactly what Toews had, and I don't think that's the extent of what Toews has, but let's just focus on that. And he's having good days and bad days. And then all of a sudden the team decides that as soon as he has 1, 2, 3 good days in a row, then we're going to clear him for contact, and then we're going to put him out on the ice in real competition in harm's way as a moving target. That's wrong. In boxing, when a doctor looks at you and says, wait a minute, you took too many shots to the head here, 30 days, 60 days. What is the PA doing? If it was, in fact, Toews' agent that had to step in here and say, no, you know, I'm going to have a say-so in here. I know that Johnny wants to play, and of course, you know, even if it is Toews' decision, they're going to say, oh, no, Johnny wants to play, but... You know, but even if that's the case, somebody has to step in here and look at his, you know, in terms of his better interest. And the Blackhawks certainly weren't doing that. When, you know, he's not cleared for contact, he hasn't had three good days in a row, and all of a sudden they're saying a week from now he's going to be back in the lineup. Oh, yeah, we'll have him back. Can't happen. It's wrong. And something's got to change. And the teams themselves, they have to sit. They have to sit and they have to look in a mirror and say, "Wait a minute. This is our franchise here. This is our main guy. What are we doing?" Now with Taves out of the lineup, somebody tweeted me earlier today the actual numbers. Now we know that since the trade deadline. And I'm getting tired of this when people say, "Oh, with Johnny Oduya in the lineup, the Blackhawks are 9-1-1." Like Johnny Oduya is freaking Bobby Orr, right? Or Nicholas Lidstrom. Johnny Oduya is a nice player. He's playing very well. It's a change of scenery. It's a spark for him. His focus, his attention to detail is on high alert right now, and he's playing very, very well for the Blackhawks. But he's still Johnny freaking Oduya. Remember last year, a year ago this time, everybody was in love with Chris Campoli too. You know, and I think Oduya is better than Chris Campoli, but you know, just relax. I mean, adversity as far as terms of the Blackhawks playing without Jonathan Taves, and I believe I have the number here. 10-4-1 without Taves, supposedly. So it's 10-4-1 without Taves. So clearly adversity has brought this team together. Because, I mean, you know, and they keep losing guys. They lost Marcus Kruger last night against the Canucks. Played two periods without Marcus Kruger. Brendan Morrison, who couldn't crack the lineup for 2 weeks, he's been in the lineup six or seven times since he came here. He's playing big minutes, all the important faceoffs last night because they're down to Dave Bolin and Patrick Kane in the faceoff circle. Because Jamal Mayer.
Really-
Yeah,
it's really bad when, as I turn the game and I hear Brendan Morrison's name, and I'll be real honest, I forgot he was on the team. Because he hadn't played in so long. Same thing with Michael Forlick. I was like, oh my God, I forgot about these guys.
Should bring up Michael Forlick. A question that people had after last 2 weeks ago, the show about the prospects, where we talked about And a lot of people have had this question, you know, have asked of me, why did the Blackhawks not put guys like Jimmy Hayes, Dylan Olsen, Andrew Shaw on the Rockford IceHawks roster for the rest of the season in the playoffs? Now, Dylan Olsen was an easy answer. You know, Steve Monitor is going to be out of the lineup. There's uncertainty about Nicholas Jalmerson. There's no in Joel Quenneville, even though Joel Quenneville shortened his bench last night and didn't play Olsen a whole heck of a lot. Up till last night, Olsen has been played a lot in some important situations as well. He's cut back on a little bit last night, but Olsen made sense, and Shaw made sense. Shaw was brought up because he brings to the Blackhawks an aspect of their game that they just don't have. So those two made sense. Of course, Bolig was left on the Rockford roster, but the guy that didn't make sense to me, and we brought it up 2 weeks ago with Brad Gardner, was Jimmy Hayes. And here we've seen it. Michael Frolik, who I don't know what you think. I don't think he's playing all that, you know, he's done all that much to impress me since he's been back in the lineup, but he's in there in place of Jimmy Hayes. But the reason I want to, you can say that in a minute. The reason why the Blackhawks didn't send these guys back is in order for any of those guys to be on the Rockford IceHawks roster, or their clear day roster, which with their clear day roster for those that missed it, the clear day roster in the AHL, which was set a couple of weeks ago, March 6th or 7th it was set. What the clear day roster is, basically, it sets the AHL roster for the rest of the regular season and the playoffs. So we'll talk about the IceHawks for a little bit here in a second, but the IceHawks are probably not going to make the playoffs, but should they have made the playoffs, and let's just say the Blackhawks didn't make the playoffs, Dylan Olsen couldn't go back and play for the IceHawks. Jimmy Hayes couldn't go back, and neither could Andrew Shaw. But the reason why those guys didn't get sent down is because in order for them to be on the Rockford IceHawks roster, they would have had to have been on that roster. So Jimmy Hayes would have had to have been sent back for a day. Dylan Olsen would have had to have been sent back for a day. And then brought back to the Blackhawks. And, of course, after the NHL trade deadline, you're only allowed four call-ups. So I think what the Blackhawks were thinking there was, I mean, I can't give you an answer on Jimmy Hayes because that one made no sense to me. But for them, the risk of sending Dylan Olsen and Andrew Shaw back and then recalling them and burning two of your four recalls with a month and a half left in the season didn't make sense for them. Because, you know, I mean, at this point, if Brandon Peary would have been healthy, that's another question. People have said, oh, well, Taves is out and Marcus Kruger's out. Are they going to recall Brandon Peary? Brandon Peary's missed the last 2 weeks in Rockford with an injury, lower body. So he's been out of the lineup. But, you know, he would have been up. So, like, if you were to send all three of those guys back and then burn three of your recalls, now you only have one. Carter Hutton, when he got called up, though, for the sick Ray Emery last week in Dallas, that was an emergency recall, so that didn't count. But, you know, so you understand why they didn't send all of those guys back. And Brandon Boleg got recalled the day after, so that one didn't count. Or actually, it did count as one of the four. So you've burned one, and if you would have sent those other three guys back, you would have burned all four. But I still, it didn't make any sense to me. Jimmy Hayes should be playing in Rockford right now. If he can't be in the lineup in Chicago, he should go back to Rockford. You can't risk losing him in waivers or anything like that. I don't understand. What did you think about Michael Frolik?
I think he's pressing. I don't think he's played any better than he did before he got, you know, put into the press box.
I don't think he's any good. I think that's the problem.
Well, yeah, I mean, the fact that he sucks is a big problem.
I've been saying that for 13 and a half months, but that's just me.
And it's even money. I don't care where he gets the puck. If he's on the offensive side of the red zone, you know Michael Frolik's getting a shot. He's a shooting machine. Unfortunately, he's no good at it.
Busy week ahead for the Blackhawks. Of course, they've got a couple of days off here. Today would have been Thursday. Had the day off. Friday, Saturday off. Home Sunday, like we said before, against Nashville. They're in New Jersey on Tuesday, back home for another matchup with the St. Louis Blues on the 29th, which is a Thursday night. And then, of course, the 31st in Nashville, back home on the 1st, so on the Sunday night, back-to-back for the Blackhawks for the final home game of the season against the Minnesota Wild. So busy five games in 8 nights.
You know, Black, since you brought up the schedule, say Duncan Keith gets I don't know, is there an appeal process in the NHL as far as suspensions go?
There is, but the NHLPA has no stones, so it doesn't get used.
All right. I was just wondering if, you know, Duncan gets three games, if he appeals, how quickly that decision would come down, if that would complicate the playoffs at all, or if that would get put on to maybe games one through three.
This far out, no. I mean, it would be expedited. There'd be a hearing within a few days. But, and like, you know, it just doesn't happen. All right, I want to talk about the Rockford IceHogs here for a little bit before we go. News this week, of course, and we talked about this 2 weeks ago on the show. We told you it was going to happen. Mark McNeil, the Blackhawks. Of course, Mark McNeil was signed a ways back. A few months ago, but Mark McNeil, whose season ended in Prince Albert in the Western Hockey League, he's coming in, making his pro debut tomorrow night, Friday night, at the BMO, Rockford, Illinois. We'll be there to cover it. Mark McNeil and also Terry Broadhurst. I haven't heard the latest, but Kyle Beach is still on target to play this weekend, so that'll be interesting as well. But, yeah, so we've got that coming up this weekend. The Ice Hogs themselves, not looking good. They're back to 500 after a nice little stretch of winning some games with a lot of guys out of the lineup. It seems to have caught up with them a little bit of late. Back to 500, 29, 29, 2, and 5. They've got 11 games left. You know, I mean, you look at the standings, they're 7 out, but 7 points is a lot of points to make up in 2.5 weeks. 3 weeks. So we'll see. But yeah, I don't think they're going to do it. They basically have to run the table, and they need Carter Hutton to stand on his head, which I don't. You can't ask Carter Hutton to do any more than he's already doing. Carter Hutton in his last 11 starts, which dates back to Alexander Salok's epic meltdown in Hamilton back on the 18th of February. Hutton's last 11 starts in Rockford, 8-2-0-1, with a 1.41 goals against and a 94.8% save percentage. You can't ask him to do any more than he's doing. He has lost two of his last three starts in Rockford, but in between there he had the shutout in San Antonio this past Saturday on St. Patrick's Day. He lost to Hamilton the other night, but Ice Hogs only scored one goal. He gave up two. You can't blame him for that one. Ted Dent, I people have asked this as well. I don't think Alexander Salok's coming back next year. I don't think he's coming back in a Blackhawks uniform. I don't think he's coming back in anybody's uniform. I think he's going back to Europe. He's got 1 year left on his contract. The Blackhawks are not going to pay him next year NHL money to play in Rockford. They're not going to do it. They were willing to do it this year because they believed that next year he'd be the backup, and he's not going to be the backup next year. They don't trust him. And, his attitude is poor. And on the ice, he's too unpredictable. He lost the Ice Hogs this year. He flat out lost the team in front of him. It's not that they don't want to play. I wouldn't say that they don't want to play in front of Alexander Salok. They just don't have any confidence in him. And Ted Dent said as much the other night. Before the Hamilton game, Ted Dent said, it's a lot easier to play when the team has confidence in the goalie behind him. And he was talking about Carter Hutton, and that was another. You could call it direct slap at Alexander Salok, and those are coming more and more frequently from the organization, and he's not coming back. And I just, he's only got himself to blame. You felt for him a little bit in the beginning of the year because, his wife had that delayed pregnancy and he had to deal with that, but he made his bed before that. Before that came into play, he and the Blackhawks were already at odds, and, he's only got himself to blame. Corey Crawford, you're an old goalie superstar. What do you think of Corey Crawford's play lately?
I'm shocked. As we go back, I'm not a Corey Crawford guy. It's hard for me to have confidence in him, but I think he's playing outstanding. He's not doing the things he was doing in the early part of the year, lunging and reaching as opposed to getting into position. I thought he played great last night, especially late. So, if we get that Corey Crawford going forward into the playoffs, who knows?
Yeah, I thought that game, as far as goaltending, Wednesday night at the United Center, the Blackhawks and Vancouver, especially Roberto Luongo, I thought it was fantastic. But you also have to point out to the players that are playing in front of Corey Crawford, Corey Crawford's making the first save, and he's getting some help from his D-men. And the forwards coming back down low, helping him out and clearing. So he's making the first save, and he's getting some help. They're battling in front of him, which wasn't happening before. I think that the thing that was missing from Crawford's game, let's go back to the 9-game losing streak and even before that, was coming up with a big save when the team needed it. And that certainly, was a complaint that you could have had of Corey Crawford. But I think a lot of it also was the way the team was playing in front of them, the way the forwards were basically going north before they had possession of the puck. The gaps between the forward and the defenseman not battling, in front of their goaltender, and the center's coming down and communication, making that first pass to get the puck, to the wall and out of the zone. A lot of that stuff wasn't happening, and it's happening now. So it's not just Corey Crawford.
Couldn't agree more.
I also want to point out, we're going to go here in a second because I really am too busy to do this tonight, but I wanted to do it. Terry Broadhurst, he's the other guy that the Blackhawks signed. He was an undrafted player. The name Broadhurst might ring a bell to a lot of people because the Blackhawks just drafted his younger brother, Alex Broadhurst, in the seventh round of last summer's draft. Alex, but the interesting thing here, and these guys are from the south suburbs, Orland Park, New Lenox, these Broadhurst brothers. Terry Broadhurst was the captain of University of Nebraska at Omaha this year, had a really good season, but he was just a junior. His brother, Alex, is going to be a freshman at that same university next year. So it's a bit of a surprise that Terry would leave. You know, I mean, I found that interesting that he would leave. But if he, you know, if he had as good of a year as maybe he's going to have in college hockey, then it, you know, these guys are sort of encouraged to leave. And Terry Broadhurst had an excellent year, 16 goals, 20 assists, 36 points in 38 games, 7 power play goals. So you got to kind of look at that and, you know, wonder how good he is. But we're going to get a look at that this weekend. Mark McNeil, I'm very interested to see him because Mark McNeil did not impress me at all last summer's prospect camp or training camp. And, you know, he went back to the Western Hockey League. He had a very good year for a really bad team. And now he's coming into a situation where no matter what I say, those guys in the locker room in Rockford, they really believe that they still have a chance. They're playing like they still have a chance. So there's pressure. I mean, there's real pressure there in that locker room. And he's got to jump Mark McNeil, Terry Broadhurst, and Kyle Beach. These guys got to jump right in and battle along with the rest of these guys, and it'll be interesting to see how those guys play. I want to note Rusty Olesh. The last 15 games, Rusty Olesh has 1 goal and 6 assists in Rockford. 1 goal and 6 assists. And they're making a playoff push. This is Rusty Olesh. So he's also even. They're 8-5-1-1 in those 15 games. But Rusty Olesh, you know, I mean, there's some nights when Olesh, he'll own the puck, but there's just something missing there from his game. I mean, just as far as, you know, turning it on and going to the net and using his body, it's just some nights it's just not there. And, you know, I don't know what the Hawks are going to do with him because he's still got 2 more years left, and he's more than happy with making his money playing in the AHL, so I don't know what they're going to do with him. But we'll see. You got anything to add, Superstar?
Nope.
Okay, well, that's good. I'm glad Rutu quieted down. I gave Rutu a puppy bath right before we went on the show, so I'm sitting here soaked. yeah, he got a puppy bath, and I fed him. So eventually he settled down. But the little bastard, I tell you what he did before we go. So I was taking him for a walk the other night, right, Superstar? And, you know, he's been doing better since Moose passed away. I mean, it was rough there for, you know, 3 or 4 days. And, you know, some days I come home to cleaner houses, you know, than the other. But I took him for a walk the other night. We're walking. And, you know, he always decides to pop a squat and do his business, like, in the darkest area possible, right? So it's got to be the most difficult place for me to see and pick up his business. So the other night, he does it, and, of course, he picks a real dark spot, and I'm sort of like, God damn it. So I pull out the plastic bags, and I'm sort of looking. I'm like, where? I'm kind of trying to spot, make sure I know where, what location it is. Well, he fronts out of there, he walks away, but then he comes back and he does this, a lot of dogs do this, but he starts with his back paws, his hind legs, he starts kicking up dirt. He does this everywhere in the backyard. My backyard is torn apart because of his, you know, whatever he's doing, whatever that is. When he pees, he just kicks up grass and dirt. Well, he does his business, he walks in front, and then he takes a couple of steps back and he kicks his shit up in my face. I was so mad at him. He just, one of them hit me like in the chest, and the other one did like a flyby, like right past my cheek. I was like, you little bastard. And of course, the whole time he's just looking at me with this big smile on his face, like he's so proud of himself that he kicked his own feces in his daddy's face.
I'd love to say that that wasn't karma in some way, but it probably was. And you got to give the little guy a lot of, you got to give this guy a little credit. I mean, he's a little guy. You're a taller dude. Getting it up that high, you know.
He's got really strong legs. Because he's always walking around on his hind legs. So they're really strong. But yeah, that little. I don't know. I want to say that I deserved it. I'm sure there's somebody listening to this right now that believes that I deserved it. But
right. I wouldn't
say that. All right, Superstar, we're going to do at least one show next week. I can't tell you who's going to be on because I haven't actually emailed them or asked them yet or nailed down dates, but I'm going to work on that in the next couple of days. And I'll be in Rockford this weekend watching that stuff and getting some interviews and relaying the information to everybody on thethirdmanin.com, also puckchatter.com, and then again on this show next week, Puck Chatter Radio or whatever I'm calling it. And hopefully I'll get it right next week.
Probably not, but we can hope.
Probably not. We only did the one email, but we'll do more emails next week too. That's about it, Superstar. So say goodbye to the people.
Goodbye, people.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next time. Good night, everybody.